Mark 5:21. Mark 5:21. Let's talk about doubt today. Doubt equates worry. Worry equates fear. You don't have to turn there, but 1 John 4:18 said there is no fear in love. None. Nada. There is no fear in perfect or mature love. And it goes on to say that fear, perfect love will cast out fear because fear hath torment. And he that feareth, this is 1 John 4:18, he that feareth is not made perfect or mature in the love of God. If we knew how much God loved us, it would eradicate the fear, worry, and doubt out of our life. Because every one of us in here today, including myself, has some form of doubt or concern about something that may or may not go the way we need it to go this week. Okay? Now, the reason, one of the reasons for that is one of the faith busters that we have is stuff behind us that didn't go right. And so we make a spiritual assumption, Rudy, that because it didn't happen good 5 years ago, then it's going to be the same old, same old. Well, God's not same old, same old. He can fix it, okay? Just because it went south back here doesn't mean God can't fix it up here, okay? And so let's talk today on, let's put doubt out. Okay, let's put it out. Let's stop the car and put doubt out on side of the road.
Amen.
So, well, how are you going to do that? Well, you talk to doubt. He has a personality. You might as well say amen. Because them thoughts get all up in here and you get afraid. And you talk to him. And first thing you know, you've told him everything. And he knows all about you. That's why Eve had a conversation. Satan had a conversation with Eve so he could find out what she knew. See, a lot of people talk to you to find out what you know about a certain subject. Are y'all following me?
Yes.
So we're going to have to put doubt out. Going to have to just kick it out. In Mark 5, there's three miracles, okay? We have Jesus is on his way. He's healed the man full of the devil living in the graveyard naked, all right? He's got that taken care of. The man's got clothes on now. And so he goes then to Jairus' house to heal his daughter who is at the door of death. On the way there, a woman stops him. She's had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's spent all her money. She's been to every test, every scan, MRI, everything you can do. And she's still no better. So Jesus heals her and says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Because she said, "If I can touch his garment, I'll be healed." Okay? Power in what we say, it has a tremendous, profound effect on our faith. So she said, "If I can just get close enough to Jesus, Scott, and touch, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And she felt that power, and he said, "Whoa, who touched me?" And of course, a lot of people were touching him, but there's that different kind of faith touch. You follow what I'm saying? And so then they come. And Jesus stops and talks to them a while about that. Then a messenger comes from Jairus' house and said, "Don't worry about it. The girl's dead. You're too late. She done dead." Jesus immediately spins around and looks in Jairus' eyes and says, "Fear not. Just believe. She's not dead." Now, the one that controls life and death can say that. He's given us that authority, all right? So we need to learn to take that and say with our mouth something. So now, it's not easy to put doubt out when you've just heard your child is dead. That's a bad place to be in, a place I've never been in, a place I never want to go in, okay? So Jesus, you can read the story, Jesus goes on to the house. He gets there and they all, Miss Debbie just crying and squalling and carrying on and all that. In verse 21 it says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, he went across the Sea of Galilee. Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." And so he's on the other side of the sea, and all this thronging people comes up around him. And so he gets to the house, and the little girl is dead. And so Jesus, you know, walks in and says, you know, let's go down to verse 41. Let's go down to verse 41. "And he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her," he said, "I say unto thee, arise." And he picked her up. Now, when he got there and told them that she wasn't dead, They all went from crying. People's emotions can shift from one thing to the next just like that. That's why you cannot make decisions based on your emotions. They were squalling, I'm talking about their best friend, I mean, just done up and died. And then Jesus said, she's not dead. Then he went instantly from that to laughing at him. So you know what he very rudely did? He told them to get out.
That's right.
Y'all hindering my spirit.
Yes.
So well, that was awful rude of Jesus. Well, you can't hurt doubt's feelings.
That's right.
Do you have any acquaintances that you don't matter what you do to them, what you call them, how mean you are to them, you can't hurt your feelings, they still won't go away like a stray dog. Y'all got any friends like that?
Well, we hope.
Deb, you didn't have to say nothing, baby. I saw all up in them eyes, all right? So, see, some folks, you can't hurt their feelings. We're not supposed to try, okay? Thank you, Miss Carrie. I seem to have a gift at it whether I try or not, but nevertheless, doubt, you're going to have to put doubt out. It's going to have to go. You just need to walk around in your house with your Bible and talk to it and tell it to get on out of him, because we had all of you we need, and I'm not going to worry no more. I'm going to trust God because God loves me and he's going to take care of me, and I'm going to trust him. We have more power and more control than we realize. If we could somehow take a deep breath of the worship of God and get a hold of ourselves and realize that we have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God and doubt not in your heart. Mark chapter number 11, do not doubt in your heart. You can speak to that mountain and cast it into the sea. That's heavy stuff. Not doubting in your heart, that's tough. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Absolutely. Zero worry zone. Tough. We might as well be honest. Tough. You got to stand. I mean, you got to stand, and you got to stand hard, because if you don't, here it comes. I mean, it's coming back. It ain't going. You can run it off. It's like a stray dog. You can run it off, give it to your neighbor, and get back to the house. It'll beat you back to the house. You understand what I'm saying? That's what doubt is, and fear, and it'll eat you alive. You got to put it out of the car. All right. Now I want you to go with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, Joshua. And here's why doubt is so powerful. And you're going to have to work at it. It's a job. I mean, it's a full-time job to keep fear and doubt out of your mind. You're going to have to talk to it. No matter what the neighbors think, well, she a crazy woman's over there talking to herself again. Well, it don't matter what they think. They ain't got your problem. They ain't paying your bills. Okay? Don't matter about what they think. We're worried about that. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, here we are, all 270 pounds of me, we do not war after the flesh. See, the spirit world has no bearing on how big you are physically. Verse 4, if you would, Joshua, please. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not how big our gun or baseball bat or club is, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is something where somebody's dug in and they just won't get out, all right? But we have the weapons of God. We have God's Word. Just read the Word. Just keep walking around the house reading the Word. Thursday, I just got my Bible. Miss Carrie went somewhere or another, and I just walked around all through the house talking out loud and reading the Word of God and praying. So what if somebody comes knocking on the door, Brother Scott? You're going to think you're crazy. They already think that, so it's no worries there, okay? I don't care. They can just come on and pray with me. Miss Carrie got back where she was. She just come on. I never missed a beat. I just get walking around and praying. Strongholds that somebody's dug in on you. They've come and squatted on your property.
Like kudzu.
Can't get rid of it, all right? Any of y'all, I know a plant that's worse than kudzu. I don't know the name of it, but it's in pond 2 at my house. And it got my drought last year. The pond got low. Scotty and these grasses grew up, okay? I said, well, when it gets cold, they'll die. Mm-mm. I said, well, when it rains, it fills the pond up, drowned them. Mm-mm. I mean, they're there to stay. They've come, and they're there to stay. Well, but you can't fish. I'm finna try some Roundup on them, okay? I'm going to try some Roundup. What if you kill some fish? Well, I got 6 ponds. It won't make no difference, okay? Coons has got to have something to eat anyway, all right? But if they got to go, you can't fish. This is my pond. You walk all the way around. You can stand on the bank and fish, because I don't like to sit in the boat and fish. And so anyway, some stuff's hard to get rooted out once it gets rooted in. If you don't want to have to kick it out, don't let them in. Are y'all with me? All right, verse 5. Here we go. Tough one. Casting down imaginations, thoughts that runs through your mind. You know, you can have a bad day and get afraid of something, and in 15 seconds you can plan your whole funeral. Pallbearers picked out and everything. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I'm talking about bam. This thing up here running at high speed. Hear bad news on the news, economy's bad, you can go ahead and get, you can have bankruptcy filed up here in 5 seconds. Can I get a witness from somebody? Huh? Apparently ain't nobody here ever had no financial trials in their life but me. Can I get an amen? I mean, up here, casting down imagination. We can imagine up some stuff up here. Can we not? You can hear a noise you're out in the woods at night by yourself if you're scared. You can hear a noise, baby. It's like Sasquatch has done got you, okay? I'm telling you. I'm not particularly scared of Sasquatch because I'm bigger than him and I went to school with him anyway. He never, I would call his name, but I'm not. But he never had a haircut or shave from the day he was born till now, all right? I went to school with him. He's bigger than me. So, but anyway, I know Sasquatch. But that being said, an armadillo in the daytime in the woods makes a little racket. But if you out there by yourself, just you and Crow, and I'm sitting on a tailgate listening to Crow try to find a coon, you can hear an armadillo come through the woods. It sounds like one of them Sherman tanks in World War II. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't know what it is, you'll leave your truck running. Can I get a witness? Well, usually some folks too scared to get in the truck. They just leave running. Casting down imaginations, that's not easy to do. Controlling this up here is not easy to do. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what you know about God, it'll come tell you that's all a lie. God don't care nothing about you. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's pretty tough right there.
Yep.
That's tougher than getting dressed and coming to church on Sunday morning. To cast down every imagination, because you can go ahead and plan out the rest of your life. Well, in 5 years, I'll be homeless down here in the Key West at the rate we're going right now. You can go ahead and plan that out. Can I get a witness? At least I do know some homeless people down there. Amen. They're pretty good folks. And it's warm. Yeah, if I'm going to be homeless, I ain't going north, baby. It's cold up there. Y'all, I'm going up there to Wisconsin. You don't do. I'm going south. One homeless man down there named Raymond, his friends call him Ray Ray. He's got a dog. He's got a bicycle with a basket on it. He's got a little dog in it. We stopped there about midnight at Walgreens. Miss Carrie went in. She said, "You coming in?" I said, "No, I'm going to stay here and visit with this fella." So anyway, me and Ray Ray, we got to talking. And Price, you know, I don't know what it is about folks wants to pet your dog. Go buy your own dog and pet your own dog. Don't pet other folks' dog. I mean, we used to catch Callie on trips with us. She's a 100-pound German Shepherd. Now, what kind of person walks up to a dog that size ain't never seen, said, "Can I pet your dog?" They just ain't been bit as many times as I have, all right? So, anyway, Ray Ray's got this little dog here, kind of a Heinz 57 dog. And so these tourists just walk up and they want to pet him. Said, "We pet your dog?" I'm standing here watching this. Jesse, I'm just standing here watching this. Because I ain't leaving until it's over, Mickey. You understand what I'm saying? And he said, "Well, he don't like to be petted." That's all he said. Well, they just went right on, pet him anyway, Micah. He bit him, bit a hole in the hand, blood dripping off the finger. And they said, "Well, he bit us." He said, "Yeah, I told you he didn't like to be petted. He bites me, and I own him. I feed him, but I don't pet him. He's not a petting kind of a dog." Take control of yourself. Don't stick your hand in every place it don't need to be. Or your mouth will get you off in some places you can't get yourself out of.
Amen.
Your alligator mouth overloads your jaybird tail. You've heard that a million times, and it will. The Bible says it in 100 places, okay? I got bit by a dog one time. My aunt had like 6 of them little chihuahua things. It barked, bless God, and I mean, them was the barkingest. If they as big as German Shepherds, we'd have to try to move, really. I mean, if a Chihuahua was as big as a German Shepherd, you'd have to move. We'd have to just let them have the house. Well, I, Deborah, I was crawling around Aunt Joanne's and Uncle Wendell's in Monroe. I was crawling around on the floor barking at them. just a little mean boy about Brody, about Brody's age. I was going to show them dogs. Let me tell you about them chihuahuas. They can bite you faster than you want them to, okay? They bit me through my lip. I'm telling the truth. I'm in God's house. I'm telling the truth. You could close my lips, Lynn, and I could blow air out that hole. You know what my Aunt Joanne said? She said, "That's what you get for fooling with my dogs." I said, "Well, you need to put these things up. My God, how many dogs do a fella need one house? I mean."
You glue.
Got my own whistle, amen. You got some stuff you don't need to do. Okay? I didn't need to be fooling with the dogs and got bit. You feel me? All right? Some place you don't need to go and you won't get shot. Yeah, things you don't need to say. You don't need to say everything you think. It's like the post that Jessica put on Facebook the other day. People ought to be proud of me and send me flowers for all the stuff I don't say. Amen? Okay?
Unfriend your pastor.
Well, I chimed in and said amen. They just don't know how blessed they are.
It really is the truth.
It really is. It is for me and you anyway, because we know everything, me and you do. You got to take control of your life, or fear will consume it. Okay, I'm talking about just consume it. I'm gonna tell a story on Martha now. She loves me. She called the bug man or somebody was over, not the bug man, but somebody was over here and saw where a termite had been. Martha called me. Oh my God, Brother Scotty, what are we gonna do? I thought somebody's dead. I said, "What's happened, baby? What bad something?" She said, "Oh, we've got a termite over the church." I said, "My God, I thought something was bad wrong." I said, "Baby, we have these people you can call, and they love to kill termites. Just call them, okay? Don't worry about the termite, all right? So don't get overworried about stuff when you know a person that's got a big gun. You just call them, let them come shoot it, whatever it is. You feel me? So we got to get doubt out. We've got to make ourselves just trust God anyway. I don't care if the stars fall out of the sky. We've got to take control. Take control. Micah, does a sniper shoot on his breath out or his breath in?
Out and hold.
Out and hold. Why? He's in control. I take a blood pressure pill because if pain makes my blood pressure go up and activity will make it go up. So when I go to see Dr. B, because if your blood pressure's up, they go into some kind of protocol where you have to sit 20 minutes and take your blood pressure and all this. I ain't really got time for all that. And so, because see, I know how to diagnose myself. So when I get there, I already know what I need. Okay? Now, Dr. B don't always agree with my diagnosis, okay? But anyway, I can't help because she didn't go to the same school I went to. But anyway, that being said, no, she don't watch the videos either. So I sat down in there because I'm usually in a hurry. And Miss Denise triages me. She puts a blood thing on and I'll drop it. Take control of my blood pressure and my heart rate and drop it. She can see it going down. Just drop it. And she says, "How do you do that?" I said, "You just got to take control. Go to a happy place and take control." That's what we have to do every day. Take a deep breath. And drop it. So you really, can you do that? Yeah. Y'all ain't seen that James Bond movie where he dropped his and the beeper come off and he escaped. Okay, that's where I really learned to do it, all right? I'm like James Bond. Because if I got a good blood pressure, I can escape out of that doctor's office quicker. Amen. If you ain't got one, you got to sit in that chair and they come check it every 15 minutes. That makes my blood pressure go up. See, we have power that God gave us. Okay? We have power, authority that He gave us to control ourselves, control what we say. But the Bible did say in James, a man that controls his tongue is a perfect man. That's what it said. It really did. It said you can control a horse with bits. Well, there's some crazy horses you can't, but nevertheless, a good horse you can. And you control a whole big ship with a rudder. But this right here, this thing right here, oh, my God. He said, if you can control that big D, you the man. That's our hardest thing, is keep his chin shut.
I agree.
Especially some of us is especially gifted at talking, okay? Just keep it shut. So, Sam, don't talk in church, baby. Cast down them imaginations. So whatever's coming against you this week, whatever you're facing this week, go to Hebrews 10:35, Joshua, if you would, please. Hebrews 10:35. Cast that doubt out. Jesus throwed the folks out of the house, throwed them out of their own house, said, y'all get on out of here. He did, because they were doubting and hindering his spirit, so he throwed them out. He had business to take care of. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. In other words, if you'll stay in faith and say, I'm going to just believe God, I don't care if the sun falls out of the sky, I'm going to believe God is going to take care of whatever this mess is I'm dealing with for me, because obviously I've been trying to fix it for 20 years, and obviously I'm not going to be able to fix it, so I'm going to have to give it to God.
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Because all it's going to do is deplete your energy. We fight battles that we cannot possibly win. With enemies. See, when you're dealing, what do they call them people in Japan in World War II, them airplane kamikazes, okay? You can't hardly beat him. Because he's just going to fly his plane right into your boat with you standing there and kill himself. It's hard to defeat an enemy that's that crazy. You feel me? And they some people you get talked to, I don't care if you take them court documents and you're not going to change their mind.
Right.
So you just might as well just stop right there, because it's just going to drain you of your productive energy and mess up your day and weaken you down so you can't go do what you need to do, because you're all teased up about these crazy people. All right? The world's full of crazy folks everywhere. They're like fleas. I mean, it is what it is until God touches them and heals their mind. There's a man here in Mark chapter 5, lived in the graveyard, didn't have on no clothes. He didn't wear, he walked around naked in the graveyard. Now, can you imagine the children on the school bus going by? Parents put the youngins on the school bus and they close your eyes when you go by the graveyard because the naked man down there. That's the kind of crazy folks he had to deal with. They still here today. So what we got to do is focus and say, I'm going to believe God because God said. Because today is the day we find out if we trust God or if we trust how we feel. Because we go on our feelings. What were your feelings? And feelings will get you in some kind of mess like you can't get out of. So we got to put our faith and trust in this right here. We went out to the river yesterday and rode in our boat for a little while. For relaxation, we stopped at Ratliff Ferry and we ate. Me and Carrie and Mike and Jody and Hannah and Joseph and another couple that's friends of ours. And we ordered all our food, and young lady, the wife of the other guy, she ordered a glass of water. In that glass of water, Jesse, was something floating. I very seldom even look at mine. I just drink it, so God only knows what I've drank. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, it was floating in there. And she told them, so she handed it back, so they threw the whole thing away. And got her another fresh glass. See, one little speck of a mosquito or whatever was floating around in her water. She had to throw the whole thing away. One speck of doubt will pull the drain plug out of your energy. And it will grow and grow and grow and grow and have you in the awfulest mess. You wind up in the hospital sick over some little something that don't amount to anything. When you might just throw that glass away and get me a new glass. So there's a reason when I get a Mountain Dew, I don't drink cans, I drink bottles. And now you'll see me, if you watch me, you'll see me take a swallow of it. I put my top back on it. If I lose my top, I just drink it. There's a reason for that. Why? Because Yellow Jackets like Mountain Dew as much as I do. If you ever drink one Yellow Jacket, and he won't stay down. He won't. You have you ever fooled with any Yellow Jackets?
Unfortunately.
They like them kamikazes, them Japanese folk. And you feel him crawling up your esophagus. He crawls back up into your mouth, and you open your mouth, and he flies out. See, digestive juices won't kill a Yellow Jacket. Won't nothing kill a Yellow Jacket but gas, okay? And you need some old gas from the 70s. This water stuff really won't kill them today. And so when I get me a drink, Jesse, of Mountain Dew, I take me a swallow, I put my top back on it. Why? Because you only need to swallow one Yellow Jacket in your lifetime. Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't get stung that time, praise be unto God, but that would have to be a bad feeling. Something crawling around here is bound up, fuss with him stinging you. You understand what I'm saying? Scotty knows what we're talking about, see? Don't take but one. See, it don't take but just a little bit of sand in your pure glass of water to say, I don't know if I need to drink that or not. When you go to the Gulf Coast, do you get tea and Sprite or do you drink water? I'd advise you get tea and Sprite, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. So, because you can't drink that water out of the Pascagoula River. I've tried. It's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Got a strong smell to it, too. Got to put the doubt out. Got to put it out. Jesus said, cast it out. He run them folks off, told them to get out. And that's how strong you got to get in your faith. And that spirit that comes to you and says, this ain't going to work out, say, well, God said it was going to work out.
His word
said it was going to work out. So I don't see no way out of this. You may not see a way out of it, but God sees a way out of it. You may not be comfortable right now, but God's comfortable. You see, the Bible says, I'm like Jesus. As Jesus was, so am I on this earth. Jesus not broke. He not sick. He not depressed. He not crying. You understand what I'm saying? And so that's how we got to get with our faith and cast the doubt out. Just open the door and put it out. If you got to drawing down the road, just stop on the side of the road, open the door and tell them to get out. Folks stop and ask you what you're doing, tell them ain't none of their business what you're doing. That's what I do. I mean, you may not always need to do what I do, but I'm just telling you how you need to approach this doubt stuff because it's bad. Because it sucks the lifeblood out of the church. We have to believe God is able to take care.
And willing.
And he is. He's done a great work here. He uses this church right here, from here in Neshoba County, all over the world.
Yep.
You can't put a pencil piece of paper to that. Your math won't work out how much stuff this church right here does all the way around the world. Why? God just somehow gets it done. Because he's God and we're not. We're serving him.
That's right.
So cast the doubt out. Because I've asked God, what if we wind up with 30 churches over yonder in India? We're the only contributing club. We're not like in a club where other folks are sending in millions, okay? This is the only club right here. And God said, well, I took care of 15. I can take care of 30. I can take care of how many churches we won't take care of. So we got to trust him. So I can't look down the road and start trying to figure out something I ain't even got to it yet.
Oh, we do.
Oh, we will. I will. Come on, somebody say amen. I mean, I can't be the only sinful human being in this building. We got to figure it out before we even get to it. May not even be no problem. Got to figure it out. Got to put the doubt out. Got to tell it to get out and stay out, because you're standing on the Word of God. Here it is right here. It's just the same as it was 57 years ago when I come on this planet. It has not changed. It's the only thing that hasn't changed, but it has not changed. So stay close to it. You get in it, it'll get in you. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep reading your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Just read it. I don't care. Just walk around the house and read it. It don't make no difference. Just play it on the TV. Play it on your phone. Get the Word of God in you. I promise you, if you'll get it in, it'll get in you.
Right.
It'll build your faith up. That's why I say it constantly. Read the Word of God. It'll change your life. It's our only hope. And God has given it to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you. We thank you. And we say today, death to doubt. Our relationship with you is not based on fear. It's based on faith. And we're not going to live in fear. We're not going to live in worry. And we're not going to live in doubt. We're going to face the world out there because we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ.